Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oh, we have to pick up the dog poop.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a first for me.
No, keep asking the question. Yeah. And we'll just hear the rattle of the bag.
This is the Improv Chronicle. I'm Lloydie. When we improvise, we are, of course, also acting. But not all improvisers have acting training. So what does the kind of training an actor gets give you when you apply it to improv? We begin in a dog park in Sydney, Australia, where I grabbed a few words with an experienced actor and improviser while her dog played and pooped.
My name is Eleanor Stankiewicz. I am an actor, but like that's my training and my profession. So I came to improv. I did a little bit of it at like drama class in Adelaide, where I grew up, like kids drama class, a bit of theatre sportsy kind of things. And then I moved to Sydney to study. I did my undergraduate for acting. And in that, we did a lot of improvising for long form and for rehearsal devising techniques. So like how to create character, how to devise shows. We did, in our first year, a 6-hour long improv. We did a wedding. So we did like getting ready for the wedding. Like we did the ceremony. We did the reception afterwards. We had like little objectives to try and achieve, as well as had spent the whole term devising the life and the history of these characters. So that's where I came from it, and came from it through a theatre-making perspective, never thinking that long form could be performed. I always thought that like improv was for like short form or theatre sportsy or warm-up-y things. I think in like 2017, 2018, I started realising that I would love to do all of the acting with less of the rehearsal. But also it feeds into my craft as an actor. So I'm always using improv, like in auditions, on set, in the room, like everywhere.
There are a lot of people who have come from encountering improv as part of their acting training, as part of an acting degree or otherwise. It's only more recently that people have discovered it through improv theatres. What kind of... Oh, we have to pick up the dog poop.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a first for me.
No, keep asking the question. Yes. And we'll just hear the rattle of the bag.
Great. That is a new sound effect for the podcast.
Oh, this gig.
Yeah.
What would you say are the advantages of having encountered it in a more kind of formal training setting through acting training?
I think for me it's how it relates to text. And both I'm an actor and I do voice coaching and voice work, so I'm kind of back at the same institution I studied at teaching and seeing the correlation between, and when I did my master's it was about how to use improv techniques and philosophy in my research to create a sense of freedom and play within text work and voice work for students. And so now I'm kind of really hyper aware of the gift of improv and how like having the improv philosophy and techniques and perspective underpinning text work. So text is, yes, it is primary, is everything. Everything on the page is the structure. But that's like the format. The script is the format, and anything you do within that is the artistry of the players. Like that's how I'm seeing it. And so there is absolutely nothing wrong with any journey into acting at all. I think everybody is an individual, and what you need as an individual in your artistry is so unique. But the thing that I love about it when I was doing my training, and now that I'm kind of bringing this philosophy in training others, is how can you expand the imaginative world of the playwright, of the director, of the creatives. And then being on set, I was on set recently and there was a couple of script changes. And so the ability to, like, I'm 100% prepared with this scene, but now I have a new line or a new word or a new character name, because perhaps someone has been cast as a different gender than what was in the script. That quite often happens. And so that's now changed on the day, and those sorts of things have really, like, so that flexibility and that ability to kind of, like, be like, ah, this is what we prepared, but also this is what's happening now.
I'm really struck by that. How can we, let me get this phrase right, how can we expand the imaginative world of, like, the players and the characters? Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I said just then, yeah. So for me it's like, if this is true, what else is true? If this sentence shows us the expression of the thought, then what is the thought underpinning it? What is not just the one thought, but the 10,000 different variations that I can then as an actor stay in the point of rediscovery rather than redoing, even at like month 4 of a season of a theatre show that has 8 shows a week. Or I've just come off touring a children's theatre show that I toured for about 2 years in and out and around lockdowns, and that had a 13-page script. But how could I still stay imaginatively involved so that this job is not just paying my bills? It's a first theatrical experience for, like, under fives, and it's bringing their world and the words of their world to life in a new way. Because I get bored. And so I really find that, like, if I think about it, okay, how else can I expand? What other avenues? What other dimensions? How else can I twist the kaleidoscope to find out more?
Over in the UK this weekend, an actor and improviser friend of mine visited. And so while we walked to get dinner, I asked her opinion too.
Hey, my name is Aniel. I'm an improviser. I'm based in California, but spent most of my formative years in Chicago through Second City and IO and The Annoyance.
You're also an actor, and I'm really interested to know how being an actor has informed your improv.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's such a big question, so you might have to help me to a useful answer.
I can break it down into component parts if
you want to try.
I'm happy to try.
Or see where I start and then redirect.
All right, yeah, you start. And then, let's see, what popped into your head first when I said that?
Well, that I started as an actor. So I came, you know, into it from that theater perspective. Both my parents were actors. And I always did theater. And then when I found improv, to me it was like the marriage of all the things that I loved. And then I found a decent amount of success in improv because, like, I was naturally committed to the reality or able to, like, play with things that I just knew as an actor.
That's interesting, being naturally committed to the reality. Can you break that down a little bit more? Told you I'd break it down into component bits.
Just like the assumed knowledge. So, like, taking in information and immediately being able to be like, what's important to me as an actor. So, like, seeing it through an actor's perspective more than like a writer or a director or a stand-up comic, I guess. Does that make sense?
I think so. So do you mean like finding subtext in what is being said?
Yeah. And then like really filtering it through the character. So clicking into a character pretty early in a scene and then everything being able to like flow through that filter, which just makes it easier.
How about holding yourself on stage and using the space? Does being an actor help you with that more intuitively than if you've just gone to an improv class and not done any acting?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like staging in general, of just the specificity or the awareness or the joy and delight in like what it means to move across the stage or what it feels like to command the stage or have that presence is something that you learn and you practice as an actor. So that's like naturally, intrinsically already there.
One of my jobs is to be content director of a children's radio station here in the UK. A number of the team have done improv training, and one started out in acting before moving on to improv. So in between keeping the nation's 6 to 12-year-olds entertained, we found a spare studio.
Hello, I'm Dan Simpson. I am a radio presenter for the BBC and for a children's radio station called Fun Kids, a podcaster and now an improviser too.
But your background is in acting, right? You were an actor before you were an improviser.
When I grew up, yeah, I did a lot of acting, moving right the way through to university, really. So school plays and then doing a lot more than that, like local professional productions, and I've since picked that up. As I become an adult, I've done kind of pro local shows again with people that I did it with back then.
So what was it like coming to improv from an acting background? What did you notice straight off?
It gave me a much firmer foothold in games, particularly, that I was being asked to do. So I started at level 2 of my course with Hoopla that I did it with. And just a lot of people hadn't been on a stage before, were really going outside of their comfort zone. So had that initial spooky scaredness of, oh, I need to talk in front of people for the first time. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to put myself out there. Whereas I think coming from an acting background, it helped me do two things. Immediately, that worry of not knowing what to do, how I would do the basics of standing in front of people and talking wasn't there. Also, I'm big into character improvisation. I'm no leading man. When I was acting when I was young, I was always into character comedy, particularly back then. So it immediately helped me be able to dive into the skin of anyone that I was improvising and performing on the hoof.
That's interesting, the bit about character. Where do you get your characters from when you improvise them? Because when you're doing scripted work, you've got a little bit of info in terms of the text, but how do you jump into character and how does that relate to your acting training?
Well, bad accents and physicality. I'm a huge, huge fan of physical performance because it does two things. It lets the audience know immediately something about the character, and it lets me as an actor dive into one particular bit of my personality that I can emphasize. So we're perhaps clichedly might be a gait or a walk or a strange posture or something that I'm doing with my face, but I can use that as a personification of something that's going on with me, and I find that really helpful to use that as a door to get into the performance. So immediately, if I step into the scene and I say my first line, and it turns out I'm doing a Scottish lad that's got something strange happening with his right shoulder, I know that I've got that to lean back on, and I can keep digging into that hole and see what else comes of that. And that's the joy of improv, right? More so than acting, because acting is so prescribed. And if you're performing a script, you need to read 100 pages of the script before you need to know, right, this is the full tableau, this is the full the whole rounded nature of my character. In improvisation, you don't need to do that, because I can step on into the scene and I do something in 5 seconds and I need to justify that a little later down the line. So I'm discovering it, as well as the audience is, by the movements that I'm doing as the character.
So you're more, in that sense, filling it out rather than narrowing it down?
Yeah, hugely. Yeah, I would say I don't, when I step into the scene, I don't immediately know everything that I am about. So there's no way it's this wide view that I'm having to choose a select window of to show people. It's right, this is the small window, this is what I know, here's how I can show it, let's grow this together and see where this goes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I think when I started doing theater, because I think because of like some of my first teachers and directors were very, very strict. And it was like not joyless, but it was like very specific and very rigid. Improvisation opened up the possibility of play and of excitement inside of acting work. So I think it opened it up in that way. And then going back to acting work afterwards, you just have so many more options, or you... your imagination is so much more open because of that, I think.
So if somebody's listening to this as an improviser who hasn't done very much acting at all so far in their improv career or their improv experience, what would you recommend to them?
Do it?
But I mean, where to start though? Because like, if you're an improviser and you've been taking improv class for a while, you're like, hey, I'm having a great time. I realise, you know, people have mentioned things like stagecraft and what have you. Mm-hmm. But like, what is there available that would be like, what type of thing in an acting class would you be looking for as an improviser?
Well, I think I'm going to be so useless in this, because I think any class you take as an improviser, whether it's like an acting class or a pottery class, is like, makes you a better improviser, because you're looking through those different perspectives after having that improviser mind, which is like that hungry, open mind. So any acting class, or even just like reading a page out of an acting book and then like taking that idea into your next rehearsal. So like being like, ooh, I want to play with intention the next time I play, or like, ooh, I want to play with proximity or staging the next time I play. So just like, I don't know, anything helpful?
No, that is helpful. Is there one thing out of like... anything that you've mentioned or beyond that, that you think actually when you look at improv groups, improv teams, that you think, ah, they could do this thing, which is more of an acting thing?
I think emotion, for sure. So like things having stakes, I think, is something that I get from acting. And then also just staging. I think because when we're improvising, we're making up words, we tend to focus on that and stand 3 feet away from another human and like really focus on the words. Whereas like if you play around with proximity or movement or staging, sometimes those things can lead you to reaction or lead you to lines of dialogue. And so I'm always looking for that, of like different staging, I guess.
Nice.
I want more of that. Yeah.
Yeah. More staging.
More staging. Well, because I don't know, do you notice that? Whereas like lot of scenes are two people standing a comfortable distance apart. Whereas like if you allow yourself to be in a little bit of physical discomfort, stand a little bit closer or a little bit farther away, or turn your back, immediately your body is physiologically having a response that then you get to play with, instead of being stuck in your mind having to think of words to say.
There is an exercise that I know I've got from Katie Shute, mm-hmm. The UK improviser, And I'm not sure whether it's hers or whether she got it from someone else, but where you get everyone to pretend the scene they're doing is from a scripted play.
Yeah, that's so I think I initially might have gotten that from Bill Arnett, and I know she studied with him as well.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing coming up in Chicago that we would do, and it is, when I do that in workshops, it's my favorite pieces of watching, because you get honesty. And it's so much easier because you don't have to worry about, like, world building. It's just two people on stage and everything that happens is between them. I love it.
I love it because you get so much more intention.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like miraculously,
yeah.
when you do that. But also, I find the stagecraft is usually much better. It's almost as if blocking has taken place like it would do in a scripted play.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just that conceit of, like, these lines are written, there is a stage, every movement is intentional. Just making that choice allows people, I think, to move specifically and intentionally, or to move and then discover what the intention was behind it. So I think it works both directions.
Back to that dog park in Sydney. And with her dog's poop cleared up, I wanted to know what Eleanor took from theatre and brought to her improv.
Stagecraft. I'm never in doubt that someone can see and hear me, which is super important. Also my sense of, I think, narrative. Like, I really don't have to think about narrative, but my like internal sense of narrative structure, I think genre and style and how to express thoughts. So how can I still have subtext within a sentence that's both playable and also easily understood and specific for other players? My love of a monologue. And looking out into a window and finding, I find myself sometimes being like, oh, that felt like a this kind of play, or this felt like a this kind of play, or this kind of character as well. And really, yeah, I think I just love playing other people and other worlds. Yeah.
Eleanor talked about stagecraft, and that's something I know I've chatted about several times with Dan at work. So I asked his thoughts on stagecraft in improv.
Like, it does my head in when I'm there. And all right, people are learning at different stages. But yeah, they're doing a thing and then someone walks in front of you and blocks you off. Or I'm watching people do a scene. And, it, you know, we're all amateurs here. But I can't hear what they're saying, or I can't see them because they've not opened their body up. And it sounds so trite and simple, doesn't it? But very simply, those basics, the foundations that you can build on, is always very helpful. And just planting your feet. Really easy. And I'm not in a position in my improv group where I can really say to people, you, plant your feet. But that's very helpful. Just, you know, stand on stage, plant your feet, and clearly speak. If you do that, you're at least 50% of the way there to winning over the audience, because it's all about trust, right? If you get the simple things done well that an audience is expecting from you but doesn't know they're expecting from actors. Like, we've all seen shows, and you think, what's wrong with this actor's performance? What are they doing? Why aren't I really getting engaged? Well, quite a lot of the time, it might just be the simple things that they're not doing well. So if you immediately show them that you're doing those things, you can trust me because I know how to do this. I'm speaking loudly. I've planted my feet. I've opened my body up to you. Take my hand and I will guide you through this. We will be okay. So very simply, those little bits of stagecraft of blocking and planting your feet. I'll say it again. I don't think I'd have got as easily if I hadn't have trained in acting.
And finally, back to that walk with Andy L, which may be a little bit more fast-paced now, as we were getting very close to when we were about to eat.
Because improv is a shared art form, like when I'm playing with people who are really good with words or who come from a stand-up background, I get their gifts, right? Like, so I get their strengths. And so I think similarly, when you play with people who have an acting background or a theater background, you can gain their gifts just by, like, paying attention and also sharing what you bring, even if you don't come from that background. That's what I think.
That's what I think.
That's what I think.
I would love every podcast to end with, that's what I think.
As though it wasn't obvious that I'm sharing my opinion.
I love it.
You can get the world of improv delivered to your inbox every week when you subscribe to the Improv Chronicle newsletter. Just go to improvchronicle.com for more. If you like what this podcast does, consider following it on your podcast subscriber and leaving a rating and review. Those make a huge difference. We've had a couple recently, and I am so grateful. It helps the podcast get discovered. We've also had a couple of donations just recently, and those really do help the podcast. If you want to do that as well, then use the link in the show notes. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode, well, you can get in touch via the website, and it would be great to have you part of the production. For previous episodes and for transcripts, check out the website, improvchronicle.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.